Dana Garris, the Kaddish Chapter 31, Simon Lamed Aleph, page 302 on the top pages, which is also going to be Kuf Nun Aleph Amid Base. This is the next to last letter, the penultimate letter in a Garris Kaddish. It is not a tzedakah letter. It's more like a, you guys got a lot of responsibility type letter. The last one, Lamed Base, which we'll talk about next week, hopefully, is a tzedakah letter. So, you know. So the point over here is that the Alter Rebbe introduces the concept, which we've had before, because these are just letters and a lot of stuff we talk about in Tanya, of the comparison between the world and the human being, calling the world a big body and calling the human the small world. And therefore, we're going to analyze the points of comparison between the two, how that both statements are correct, and the ramifications, like, well, now what do we do with this information? It says it literally translated, it means it's known at the gates. And this is different, though, from if you look back at chapter 30, it says, Maidas Zeis. Mashamarizal, which means everybody knows, that's what the sages say. This one, it says, Neide Besharim, it's known at the gates, refers to the gates of the esoteric wisdom. Meaning, if you had been a scholar of the Tikkunim, for example, says it's not like everybody knows this. Every Kabbalistic scholar knows, that's what's written in the Tikkunim, which is part of the Zohar, that the divine presence, so to speak, is bitter in the exile. Okay, we know that there's a statement in the Talmud that when the Jews went down to Rome, the divine presence went down with them, and the Almighty is stuck in Gullus, just as we are stuck in Gullus. And the Almighty is therefore also, quote-unquote, pained by the Gullus. Now, the reason why this statement needs to be explained in the Zohar is because, first of all, there's a statement, I believe it's in Sefer HaBoher, that says that Ein lo gufa, ein lo demusa gufa. Hashem doesn't have a body, Hashem doesn't even have the image of a body. And that be the case, then there's no, and then therefore, what's the object of that is that Hashem is not affected by the ma'oris ha'ulam, by what those things that occur in the world. If it's cold outside, the Shekhinah is not shivering.
There's no absolute zero for Hashem.
Correct. Now, maybe Hashem is the absolute. Well, Hashem's the absolute one, not the absolute zero. That's correct. Right. Absolutely. So the. So therefore, the statement that it comes up is, what does it mean that Hashem feels really bad that we are in the Gullus? Hashem's not affected by anything. Shouldn't matter to Hashem. Pirish, al derech mashal, by way of example, kemei choli haguf, you have a person who is sick. Yeah. Hamav ben kodesh v'chulu. And this sickness separates between the holy, meaning it separates, causes an imposition between the soul and the body. Okay, the sickness is, for the most part, a physical malaise. Physical shortcomings, physical imperfections cause that the person is not functioning up to 100%. That has really no forbearance, really, on the soul. The example given in the Gemara is that a blind person can have sighted children. The idea being that what the problem is why this person can't see has to do with their eyes rather than with their neshama. The neshama has the power of sight. It's just that the eye is not the proper vessel for conveying sight, and therefore the person can't see. So it's the same thing also when a person is sick. The Friedrich Rebbe used to talk about quite often, and appears through Kuntresim and other Maimorim from the Friedrich Rebbe, whose birthday, Yud Beis Tammuz, is we're celebrating today. So it's worthy that we mention him. says that you have chulei haguf, chulei hanefesh. There is another statement in the Talmud that says a small hole in the body causes a large hole in the soul.
Yeah.
So on one thing we have, on one hand we're saying that there's, we're not affected, on the other hand we are say we are affected. But right. There's something called chulei hanefesh, which is soul sickness. The describing the levels in that are mentioned in Shemina Esrei when we're praising Hashem, in the second bracha, who we say, Okay, took me long enough to get to that part. Anyway, so the Friedrich Rebbe describes this as being three different types of spiritual malaise. Samech Neifel, you have a person who's a Neifel. There's Samech Neifel who supports the fallen. You have a person who's a Neifel. What does it mean? The person's on a certain level. Like, it's a known thing that the way in which philosophy and instruction is conveyed to Yeshiva Bachram, for example, is that they should be on the absolute highest, strictest order possible, because it's known that once the yeshiva bachur leaves the environment of the yeshiva, he's going to be a neifel. He's going to go down. He's not going to be as punctilious and scrupulous as he was when he was in yeshiva, because he's not in that environment, which is like this womb environment, which is pushing him to act in that specific way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but that doesn't have to always be. Okay, there is a really bad joke. I think this joke is probably actually more than 100 years old, and it didn't get better over time. It's not like wine. So a guy goes to a shadchan. He needs a shidduch for his daughter. So he says, the shadchan says, oh, great, I got a carpenter. So he says, no, I don't want a carpenter for my daughter. He says, why don't you want a carpenter for your daughter? He's going to come home, he's going to get mad at something, he's going to take a hammer, he's going to throw it at my daughter. Says, okay, fine, so no, we got another kid. This is a very bright person, very sweet guy, he's a tailor. Says, nope, I don't want a tailor. Says, why don't you want a tailor? He says, he's going to come home, he's going to get mad at my daughter for something, he's going to throw a scissors at her. Says, okay, fine, he goes through, looks through the box again. Says, I got a yeshiva bacher. Says, no, I don't want a yeshiva bacher. He says, why not? He says, he's going to come home, he's going to get mad, he's going to throw a gemara at my wife. And the shadchan said, that you have nothing to worry about. Okay? This is the joke from over 100 years old.
Yuck.
Yeah. So you have these people that are knife-limbed. They're still doing things. They're just in a yared state. They're not as high as they could be. So for there we say, Hashem should be semich knife-limbed. Mm-hmm. Then you have another madrigal, the person's reife cholim, who cures the sick. That this person, it says, what is it the Friedrich Rebbe is saying? That what's a good indication that a person is sick? If a person's not feeling good and they want to eat ice cream, so ice cream doesn't happen to be good for you. It's a comfort food, you feel terrible, and you want to have this like ice cream. But ice cream is not good. So but if you offer the person, say, like, a nice piece of meat. So, no, I don't want to eat meat. I don't feel like eating it. So, that which is good for them, they turn away from, and that which is not good, they turn towards. That's called chole hanefesh, a sick person spiritually. And then the last one is mechayim, matir asurim, who releases the bound.
Yeah.
Us, the word asur, bound, means forbidden. This is a person who has sunk so low that they are steeped even into forbidden, the realm of the forbidden. And even that person, it says that in the Ani L'Doidi Mimer, the famous one from Lakuti Torah that talks about the king in a field, that everybody knows that part. So in the second second section of that Mimer, so he talks about being doing a cheshbon and nefesh and feeling connected. That during Elul, you're supposed to, it's a little bit early, it's not... I had a Rosh Hashiva who used to say, Av is Elul Ba.
Yeah.
Elul's coming.
Yeah.
So what's Tammuz? Tammuz has got something, well, just, you know, okay, we're in the middle of Tammuz over here. We're not even into 3 weeks yet. So, but it says that a person has to take a stock during Elul, and has to feel bad about what they didn't do properly and correct what's in the future. So what happens, a person takes stock and says, look at all these horrible things I did, and doesn't feel bad about it. So the Alter Rebbe says, well, he should apply the following example to himself. That a person, when they stub their toe, they could, it's possible that they get a headache. They feel it in their head. Ouch, I stubbed my toe. When is it that a person feels pain in their toe? Is when there's a connection between the toe and the head. But if there's no connection between the toe and the head, there's a nerve blockage, or there's a limb missing, Rahman al-Litzlan. So then, because of this lack of connection, the person doesn't feel the pain. So this person who's gone through and made a cheshbon nefesh and says all the things that he's done wrong, and he doesn't feel bad about it, should feel bad about the fact he doesn't feel bad about it.
Doesn't feel bad, right.
Because why doesn't he feel bad? Because he's not connected. Right. And take it from there. Okay, so this person who is bound in the forbidden, so even such a person could be released as well. So that's the idea, which is the difference between, or the comparisons with the, why is it, or that the sickness of this, of the body and its effect on the soul. There's a famous story, I told it probably, I don't know, I have to listen through all the recordings of this class, but I think I've told this story at least three times, that a man went to, the Baal Shem Tov went to go visit a guy on his deathbed, and he told them, the people there, to bring him some beef broth. And they gave him some beef broth, and the guy was all better. And on the way out, I'm cutting it short because I've told this before, the doctor said he didn't have something that would have cured by beef broth. So Baal Shem Tov said, yeah, it's true. What he had was his body was not able to function with his soul because he had done everything wrong in his forsaking of mitzvahs. So the two weren't jiving together. So I spoke to the neshama and said, if you'll accept upon yourself to get your acting gear and start doing things properly, so you'll get better. But you have to accept upon yourself right now. So he accepted upon himself, but then he hadn't eaten such a long time, he was hungry. So he needed something to eat. That's what the beef broth was for.
Right.
Okay, so so this is the, so he says now, Shethibus hachoyle v'habrius, a person being sick or being healthy is dependent upon hispashtus v'hiluch hachayis mahalev el kol ha'evorim, is a circulation, has to do with the circulation of chayis. In English we call that oxygen, coming from, which is being pumped from the heart to all the limbs of the body, so that all the limbs of the body are properly oxygenated. Hamalubashis bedam hanefesh. And this oxygen, this chayis, the soul, as a matter of fact, is enclosed itself in the blood. Hayetzi mehalev el kol ha'evorim, which is coming from the heart and going through all of the body parts. V'soyvev soyvev ha'hailuch v'haruach chayim v'hadam. And it circulates all around until it only finally comes back to the heart. Teich teich kol ha'evorim v'hagidim ha'muvloim behem. Through all the veins and arteries in which all this stuff is circulating. V'chayzer el ha'lev. And it goes back and returns back to the heart, where the blood, which has been, the oxygen has been used up, is now reoxygenated. Ve'im siva vehila harua chayim halazu halaz hu kihilchasa tamidi kisidaro. If it is that the circulation of the blood with this life force in it is properly circulating constantly, continually, the way it's supposed to be, the way God intended it, then the person is ultimately healthy. This is why the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, when he presents his diet, says that if you follow this diet, you will never be sick. He guarantees it 100%. Now, how is it that he could do that? Well, he actually says that all sicknesses come from undigested food. Improperly digested food is what the Rambam says. But what happens with food? What's the whole purpose of digestion? Is to draw out the nutrients and caloric energy that the body requires so that everything works properly, and to expel the stuff that you don't need. Okay, so if that be the case, then that the body is receiving the proper nutrients from the food, so what's happening is the blood is circulating properly, and then the person is healthy. Okay? There has been a sort of like a small movement for the last 20 years of people who are like trying to adhere to the Rambam diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anybody personally. I have seen books about it that people have written, and I have heard about it, but it's pretty flipped out and weird. If you just look at Hilchos Deos, the book of knowledge in the laws of knowledge in the beginning of the Rambam, the things that one should eat and one shouldn't eat, and how you should eat and when you should eat,
mm-hmm.
all these things. And it includes only that, also concludes taking a bath and having relations and going to the bathroom. It's more than just what you put in your mouth. It's mm-hmm. a whole lifestyle. But the Rambam guaranteed it. So, I mean, it says about the Rambam that he knew exactly where his neshama was in his body. You know, so...
Okay. Some book that shows exercises the Rambam.
Exercises of the Rambam.
Like 20 or 30, and it shows, you know, exact what stretches and...
Really?
Yeah.
Anything like Hebrew yoga?
I wouldn't know what Hebrew yoga is, though. But
it was, even though there was a Hebrew
I had a bit somewhere, and I did. It was good for my back. It was good because it roots.
Okay.
There's some new ways to just keep the back limber.
Okay.
Shuckling, davening is also
shuckling
good.
During davening. Yeah, loosens things up. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, mobilizing the spine. Yes, okay. So if it's doing everything properly and it's going, then a person is healthy. Because all the limbs, all the body parts, are connected together, and they all receive their life force from the heart. Al yedei sibuv halaz, through the circulation. It's an interesting thing. According to Judaism, we do believe that all body parts are interrelated with every other body part.
Mm.
Much similar like the way the Eastern medicine people,
holistic medicine, yeah.
Eastern medicine yeah, do with Eastern their medicine. With their with the, you know, sticking pins over here helps this part of the body, and you know, opening up the veins of energy
right.
throughout the body. So, so there is something to that. Not that I'm endorsing acupuncture, because I happen to go to an acupuncturist, and based on people's whatevers and the theories about it, and it didn't help at all, not one bit.
Uh-huh.
However, we did have a problem with a teenager who was having a nighttime bedwetting problem, and after 6 visits, the problem disappeared.
Interesting.
So
that's because the kid was scared to be
hopeless. Yeah, just hopeless. Hey, this is going to do it. And this kid was actually getting, they were getting, I didn't know you could actually stick an acupuncture needle into the top of somebody's head. And it was like,
yeah.
Right into the skull. Yes. Hello.
Should have worked the first time.
Yeah, so you might be right. It might have just psyched him out and just said, I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm not, I promise.
Oh, the teenager yeah, wants to wet the bed.
It's not that they just stuck the needles in. They stuck them in and they gave him a twist. Yeah.
We'll stimulate.
Yes. Okay, anyway, so there is something to that, because there is this interaction between the body parts, because the soul also is all, the soul is basically one entity that has different facets that fit into the body in a different bit, but the power of sight is directly connected with the power of hearing, with the power of hearing is directly connected with the power of touch, the power of movement, the power of touch. They're all interconnected one with the other.
Mm.
You know, it says that a blind person doesn't taste their food because they can't see it. You think, what's the tongue is in your mouth and it's still there, that's working still, let's look at your taste buds. But there's an interconnection between the two.
Right.
Okay. Likewise, a person who cannot smell cannot taste their food either, right. because the olfactory has a thing going on with the taste buds, and it's all basically one thing over there. Okay. Now, let's take a simple example. A person's got a blood clot. Okay. Blood is not flowing through. What happens to this person? That
wouldn't work.
It's gonna be serious. Like it will take a deep deep venous thrombosis over here. This person's got a serious problem over here.
Yeah.
Okay. Device. They could lose a leg. The thing could travel and get stuck in a lung. Get stuck in the heart. Get stuck in the carotid, and this person could die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why? Because the vitality which is traveling through is not getting through to that part because of the blockage.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's saying here the blockage doesn't have to be so. Magnanimous over here with a blood clot. It could be that something that the person is doing is not, allowing the vitality to flow into the body. That would be like, for example, high cholesterol and arterial sclerosis.
Stress causes restrictions.
Yes. So it blocks or it decreases the circulation of the blood, and therefore the body is not getting properly oxygenated, the soul's not permeating every aspect of the body, and therefore it's got problems. Azai nefzik ay nismat hakesher halaz v'hamakasher kalevarim el halev. Then what happens is there's stopped, it is decreased, this connection which connects all of the body parts to the heart. Alidei sivos through the circulation. V'azai neifal ha'adam l'mishka v'choyli Hashem yishmarenu. Then what happens is a person falls sick in bed. May Hashem protect us. Okay, so if you're able to keep your body healthy and the blood's path, for the path of your blood, circulating properly and doing everything you're supposed to do to promote good bodily health, so okay, you'll be good. Kachomash, that's the example. Soul conveyed through blood to all parts of the body, everything's okay. Something's messed up and everything's not okay. Now, kachomash al derech mashal. So too it is by way of an example. Kol haneshamis Yisrael nikrin b'chinis evare d'shchinta. Every single Jew is called, the soul of every single Jew, is called a limb of the divine presence. And this is where the example of the Alter Rebbe with the foot thing is going to come in. Hanikrin b'shem lev. The Shechina is called the heart. That's where all the chayas is coming from. And it's being pumped into all the body parts of the divine presence, which is what? Which is us. So therefore, we have a tremendous responsibility now. This is what he's throwing on us. We have a responsibility. Because even if a person has like gout in their little toe, guess what? They're miserable.
Yes.
They have a serious problem. It's just a little toe, and it's just a little gout. But the whole body's messed up. So this person who, because of their deeds, we're talking now spiritually speaking, is causing an impediment of the divine presence to flow to them, is messing up the divine presence, messing up the entire body, and thereby, which is the Jewish people, thereby messing up the world, which is thereby messing up the entire spectrum of creation. How does that make you feel? Thank you very much. Kamosha Kasev, Vitzer Levavi. Usually the Alter Rebbe doesn't talk like this, though. Usually we just say, don't mess things up. If you'll keep the channels open and you'll keep yourself a vehicle for conveying divine energy, guess what? Everything will be fine.
Right. Yeah, this is unusual,
though. As it says, I dwell within you. The divine presence is conveyed through our neshamas. Our neshamas are these little sentry things, whatever you want to call them, these little drone bee things for the divine presence. You know, it's got to go out, we have to go get the nectar and bring it back. Because like the circulatory system, everything's going in a constant state. It isn't that the divine presence is down here in Gullus, because nothing is stagnant. And nothing remains stationary. Everything is in a constant state of back and forth. Based on the verse V'hachayas Ratzah V'shoiv, that Yechezkel saw the chariot was being pulled by these animals that were running back and forth. So everything is in a constant state of movement back and forth, acquisition and divulgence, and constantly happening at all times. So the divine presence, we have to give it back the feedback of the proper return lines, you might say, as well. Ki lashon shechina, when we say the word shechina, it's not by chance that according to the Zohar, the divine presence, actually it's a medrash, is called shechina. Who, she'or Hashem shechein ba'olam hazbiyah. It's cause the word shechein means to dwell. Dwell means makes itself right at home. Just right in there. Okay? So the divine presence is down here in this physical world. And how does it get into this physical world? How does your body stay alive is because of the blood, which is carrying the oxygen to the body part. So we as Jews are carrying divine presence into the world to keep it going. Because, this doesn't even need to be said, but comparably speaking, we are nothing compared to Hashem. Because everything compared to Hashem is like nothing. We've talked about this at great length in many places so far through the Talmud. I'm not going to do it now again. How it is that everything is compared like nothing. And we said, this is what was the end of Shar Yechud V'Amuna, that from the even the 10 utterances, which the 10 utterances are still very low levels, the Saramai Marish of Anivra Ha'ilam is a very low expression of godliness. And even with that, he says, never mind, he says from the essence and being of Hashem, so there's nothing gets its highest. It's not even, the essence and being of Hashem. It's even the direct expression of godliness, which is conveyed by the 10 utterances, nothing comes into existence either at that point. How does it come into the world? So he says, without going through the whole Seder Istalshalus and things kind of contracting and going into Biyah, he says it goes through the neshamas of the Yisrael. We become now the conduit, you might say, for the divine presence. That the soul is the reason for creation. What happened? Hashem brought the souls into existence by thinking. Hashem thought of neshamas, and then Hashem thought of a Torah. And then Hashem said, it'd be really wicked cool if we could take these souls and this Torah and we could put it into a physical world and try to get the two together and, you know, make it like really things happen. That would be flipped out, super duper, you know, translation is my own. But that's the cardinal libriyas ha'olam shal yedei v'chinas a deeper k'mayim rezel b'minim ha'kadosh baruch hu k'nodim ha'vacha machar. As it says, well, who did Hashem take counsel? In the souls of the righteous. So what does that mean? So here it is, you got Hashem, he's sitting up on his big throne in heaven. And he just made all these neshamas that are dancing around. Hey, we're neshamas, okay? And since we haven't done anything wrong, we get to be the neshamas of the righteous still. And so he says to the souls, hey, souls, what do you think? You think I should make a world and I'll put you down in the world? What would the neshamas have said?
No.
Are you out of your mind? No.
Exit stage left, thank you.
No, absolutely not.
Do we get a vote? No.
So that's not what happened when it says, with whom did Hashem take counsel?
Right.
When it says it with the souls of the righteous. Rather, Hashem's not asking anybody's opinion. There's no, this is a very interesting thing. Yeah. If you analyze all the various forms of government, which appear in the 24 books of the Bible?
None.
No, there's plenty of them. Democracy is not there.
Yeah.
Correct.
There's monarchies, there's theocracies, there's dictatorships, there's communism, there's socialism.
There
is no democracy talked about in the Bible.
That's true.
Okay. So God's not into taking polls. How many of you guys want? None of you? Okay, fine. I'm going home.
Yeah.
No, but so what does it mean that he took counsel? Hashem, being above time, was able to see what was the souls as they were enclosed in the body and trying to adhere to the principles of the Torah, what would be able to accomplish. And given on that, and that's happened before it happened, given that, so Hashem said, that makes it all worthwhile, the creation. Okay? And therefore, the Chayas, which is coming down into the world, and the reason why the world is this, so what do we need a world for? We need a physical world so that our neshamas can do and perform all the things that need to get performed in a physical world.
A stage.
Since it is, exactly. It's a medium, a forum, whatever you'd like to say. It's the way in which we could get things done, right. Because without it, we can't get anything done.
Right.
Because what needs to get done? It needs to get done in 3D. So now, if you have, you need to have things done in 3D, so you got to make a 3D.
Got to make a 3D assembly.
So why did Hashem make the 3D? So what happens now is that once the 3D is there, so now it's the highest that's coming into the world is coming not through the Malachim, which the Malachim are translated as messengers or conduits. That's their whole function. At this point, what we're saying, we're talking about creation of world, not existence of world.
Right.
Purpose of world. So purpose of world is fulfilled specifically through the neshamas. And then the neshamas Yisrael act as a sentry point for the neshamas of the rest of the world. V'nayda b'sharim. So it's known to those Kabbalistic experts. Ki kol hamshachas achayas ha-hashpaz me'al yonel l'tachtenim. And when talking about any type of derivative of godliness, from a higher level of godliness to a lower level of godliness, and it says, "Tachtin shein tachtin lamata hemena," this world which is considered the absolute lowest of all worlds, "Mehenhen kemosha kosev b'sefer yisira nois chelasin v'sefin v'sefin chelasin," as it says in the Book of Formation written by Avraham, that the beginning is implanted in the end, and the end in the beginning.
Sefer Yetzirah?
Sefer Yetzirah, yes.
Sefer
Yetzirah. Yep. Meaning that the reason why Hashem started the creation is in order that you have Jews doing Torah and mitzvahs and making the world a better place. And the reason why there are Jews in this world doing Torah and mitzvahs and making the world a better place is because that was Hashem's original thought to begin with.
Because that's what he wanted.
Yes, because that's what he wanted. In the writings of the Arizal, and it's the writings of Chassidus are rife with this concept. We have Or Yosher and Or Choyzer. Or Yosher, as is Kamosha Kosov the highest house of Vishuv, coming from this expression, the animals are running back and forth. When the Chayas comes down here, so it comes down in a way of Or Yosher. Or Yosher, the word Yosher means straight, and the word Chayzer means return, which is really not the greatest of translations, as is true with every Kabbalistic concept, that it doesn't, the literal translation doesn't do it. But what happens is the godliness comes down here. And in order to the world to come into existence and things to be working the way they're supposed to be working, and then we as Jews, we elevate the physical world. And the effects and ramifications of our actions goes back to their source in Chaya Chayim Ein Sof Baruch Hu. And it says that the Or Choyzer, the return on it, is much stronger than the Or Yosher. Because the Or Yosher is only, they want to bring an example with it. This would be the same thing with light, but it doesn't work physically. I haven't figured it out yet. Because if you shine a light at a mirror, for example, it's going to come back at the same watts that you're shining it at, or
works
less.
For gravity.
Hmm?
Works for gravity, though. Much as electromagnetic. Like a satellite goes past Jupiter.
Yes.
Just so it'll speed up. Jupiter gets a gravity sling.
Where's the Chayzer?
I think the fact that it went to Jupiter, now it's leaving Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
It happens in the physical world.
If you drop a ball at a certain height, it's not going to fall.
Right. It doesn't come back up to its original height. That's why I mentioned gravity.
Unless it's a Super Bowl.
It's like a new...
So, even a Super Bowl doesn't.
Okay, so it doesn't... It's not... that's true. So it's Or Choyzer is not a very good translation. Because it says that when our accomplishments are much greater, incomparably so, than the highest coming down into the world. In this straight way, you might say.
You can do it in living things.
Like people, you could throw people down and they would get up higher.
No, but if you imagine you throw one seed into the ground, and what do you get?
I don't know if that's an example of Orheiser per se. Because
your return is immensely greater.
Yeah, that's true.
Only in the aspect of
quality
of supply and return.
Right.
Only in that aspect. But it seems as though it's that only works in our physical world in living things.
Okay, we talked about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the power of dirt.
You remember
that? And that we use that as an example of the creation of something from nothing. And here I want to say that should be extended now to apply that the something which is now coming out of that is going to be the Orchid.
If you want to call the life in the earth an energy,
right?
Okay? And if you want to call the whatever latent energy is in that seed compounded with the dirt, your return is
much
immense.
Greater.
Is immense.
Okay. I haven't seen it written, but it sounds good.
No. I'm making it up.
Okay. Therefore, if you analyze this concept truthfully, which something, this concept is really, does this is not the proper form for explaining this concept in writing. How it is that the Shekhinah is called with the name heart, and the souls are called with the name limbs. Lahiris Lanu, this teaches us, here's the kicker, it's not a very long letter. Kikashir Kohan Hashem is Devukas and Mukashoris Yachad, that when it is that all souls are connected and working together. Azai sivuv hahiluch hachayis. There, all the circulation and the path of the vitality hashpas seiviv v'noyis seifin b'tcholosan. That is, you have this godliness which is going around and around, and the end is implanted in the beginning, etc. Lekasher lechaber kulin laHashem echad. And the result is that it all becomes a singularity, a unification, that when things are working all together and the right forces and everything's firing just the way, the right way, so it all becomes an expression of Hashem Echad, an absolute singularity, like we talked about before, just jokingly. And then we have this expression, the commandment, you should follow the ways of Hashem Ledavka Boy. Okay, to attach yourself to God. As it says, you are all together standing before Hashem. That's the Parshas Nitzavim, it's before Rosh Hashanah. And when is it that you're all standing before Hashem? When it's kulchem, when it's all of you standing before Hashem. And it's lefanai daika, before me specifically. From the heads of your tribes and the men and etc. and all the way down to the wood choppers and the water carriers. That they're all on the same level, one thing, one entity. And with this I will understand what our sages say. That the destruction of the second temple and the Jews go being cast down into exile, and the removal of the divine presence and its descent into the Roman Gaulus, Bechina's Gaulus, that it, the soul, the Shekhinah is also in Gaulus, Kivyachal, so to speak. Hakol haya ba'avin sinas Shekhinah v'pirid levavis Rachmanu Litzlan. That was all because of people not getting together. Because it says, Barachenu avinu kulanu ke'achad, bless us all together when we're all like one. That when is it that we get the blessing is when we're all together like one. As it said in chapter 32. So since it is that the whole, that with a healthy body, every cell in the body is working and doing the thing that it's supposed to be doing, and everything is interconnected with everything, so that there is a single purpose in the existence of this body, and that's called a healthy person. So too it is when you have all of the Jewish people working together in a singularity, we become one single healthy body. And when that singularity is not there, and we have the presence of discord specifically, so that creates a sickness within the Jewish people, which causes the divine presence not to be permeating the world, it descends into Golus, and we're stuck, and life stinks. Lachenikra choylal derech mashal. That's why the exile and the state that the Jewish people are in now are called sickness. I'll do it by way of an example. When we talked about before, it doesn't say that Hashem supports the one who fell or cures the sick person. It says those who fall. It's plural. Indicating meaning all the body parts, because every single Jew is in Golus right now.
Yes. Only all of us.
That's why one of the things that Friedrich, one of the Alter Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe wanted to do two things, three things that he couldn't, he said he didn't have the power to do. And I can only remember two of them now, but I don't, somebody will remind me of the third one. One of them is that he wanted to make duchening outside Israel every day. Because he said that the people in Golus need it. We need to have that extra bracha. The other thing that he wanted to do was to make 2 days Yontif in Israel. Because of the extra Kedusha. Because
they needed it.
Yes, because they needed it, exactly. The very interesting thing, the Rebbe, I think, it was before he was Rebbe, and they were setting up Kfar Chabad in 1946, 1947. This is like there's nobody in Israel at that point. So the Rebbe sent letters to Rabbi Gorelick, who was the rabbi of Kfar Chabad, the chief rabbi, saying that he should use his influence to push 2 days of Yontif in Israel. Which is why in Kfar Chabad, a lot of people keep 2 days Yontif because of that. Okay, and he didn't do it. Evidently, he didn't even he didn't even try. And he was killed by a bus the second day of Shavuos. So had it been 2 days Yontif, he would have, so. Anyway, when all the body parts are working together, then we get to be happy. You know, everything's happening, everything's right. And we can honestly say that this Tisha B'Av will be a joyous occasion. But it's only up to us. And thus ends chapter 31. To be continued.
Go ahead.